So we are going through a journey. And I just, the life in living color of Phil and his wife, that is what this whole thing is like. This is beautiful. Let's tell the story on Sunday, because it's a great way to segue right into what God is talking to us about. And that is where we said we're going to begin every single week through this series. Judges 8:28. I know by now you know it by heart. And he says that thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. In other words, the enemies of the children of Israel could no longer feel proud in the presence of the children of Israel, because God came and knocked them down. So those who had been arrogantly flouncing around in the land of promise that belonged to somebody else and eating the food that they didn't plant, it says that they had been subdued by God to the extent that they could no longer lift up their heads with the same arrogance. They were humbled by the power of God in the life of the people that Gideon, who became known as Jerubbaal, had led into victory. He goes on to say, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. So I said, every week we're going to start off looking at the end, because as you and I are challenged to accept new things, to walk in new ways, to commit in a deeper way to the Lord, as challenging as it may feel, as uncomfortable as it might be, that ultimately we need to understand that God's end is quietness. Quietness in our souls. Quietness, and I mean rest and peace. The world is full of turmoil right now. We know that, right? I mean, we don't need to go through the headlines, and we don't need to go through last night's stories. We don't need to read the blotter. All you got to do is wake up and you can feel the tension in the air. You can feel it in the spirit that it's dark around us. All you have to do is go to the store, go to the grocery store, go to your fast food place, step into one of the local schools, go to the police station, and you can feel the tension everywhere in this world. But that's not God's intention for us. God's intention is not for us to be overcome by darkness, but to shine in the darkness. God's intention for us is not to be overcome and overwhelmed by the many storms as in this world, but that the storms will be quieted because we live in the presence of the one who calms the storms. Amen. And so we're going to look at the end from the beginning. And we have to wrestle with the thoughts that may come to us, as they did come to Gideon, that the Lord sent an angel to Gideon and said, Gideon, the Lord wants to set everybody free. Y'all living in a cave. You working real hard, but you're not eating. You living in fear right now, trying to salvage a little bit of wheat. You destined for things greater than where you are, but you being held back, you being held down. It's in your heart to be greater. It's in your heart to follow me in a more significant way. It's burning inside you, but you are living in a cave instead of the land that I promised to you. And Gideon said, but where is the Lord? And so while the circumstances and the issues that surrounded Gideon were trying to tell him that he would never see who God called him to be, God came and said, no, that's exactly what you're getting ready to see. You are a mighty man of valor. There's a land that I promised you. I'm going to be with you. And all I need you to do is embrace some different things so you can see my glory in your life. So we are in a subset of this series called Embracing the New. And so the first thing we talked about was identity. And that was really simple. Embracing your identity in Christ. For Gideon, it was when he threw down his daddy's idols, he was called Jerubbaal. the fighter of the devils, the fighter of Baal, the destroyer of Baal. But prior to that, God had said, you are a mighty man of valor. You are getting ready to lead people to victory. You're getting ready to do something great. But Gideon had to wrestle with the idea that, well, my family is poor, man. Do you know me, God? Do you know where I'm from? I don't meet the status quo. I don't have everything that what I would think a victorious person would have. I don't have all of that. I'm not from the noble family. I'm not in the right bloodline. But do you know when God's word comes, that changes everything? Because when God's words come, in which his word has come in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, the bloodline just changed. Now you're in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You connected to the Heavenly Father. You are now reconciled to the creator of the ends of the earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who created heaven and earth. That's what we read this morning. Amen. That's where we are now. And so Gideon had to accept that. He had to embrace. I'm a new person. God says I can. Yes, I can. I'm going. He said, go. I'm gone. And then he had to embrace new relationships. First, a relationship with God. He felt like God hadn't been there. He felt like if God was here, why is all this stuff happening to me? Does that sound common? He said the same thing. He said, hey, the Lord is getting ready to do something. He said, well, if God is with us, then why have all these things befallen upon us? Where God, how could God be in this mess that we're in right now? I can't see it. I can't believe it. But he had to embrace that first. No, the Lord is here with me. And so I'm going to go by what I see. I'm either going to go by where I'm from. I'm going to either go by what the economy says. I'm going to go by what the job market is saying. I'm going to go by what the latest headline says. I'm going to go by what the color of my skin says. I'm going to go by what my neighborhood look like. I'm going to go by what God just said. So he had to wrestle with the idea of, I got a new relationship with God. He hasn't left me or forsaken me. He is right here. I hear him. I feel him. I can feel that journey, that destiny that's inside me. His word is making it burn inside me. And I need to respond in faith. I need to embrace that I have a new relationship with God. And then he had to embrace new relationships with other people, because we know that some of those relationships meant that he was getting ready to go on and see what the end of the Lord was going to be. And some of those relationships were just going to flat out end. Because we do know that when some of the relationships changed at the moment that he embraced his relationship with God and renounced his relationship with Baal and said, I'm no longer going to walk under the adherence of the principles of the law of this land. Y'all living by Baal. Y'all believing all this crazy stuff. Y'all wishing on the stars and digging up roots and making little statues and stuff and hoping that some little dumb piece of wood is going to bless your crops. I'm getting ready to renounce all of that. And he did that, cut down his daddy's grove with his daddy's ox and then sacrificed one of his daddy's oxes unto the Lord. Completely renounced his relationship. So all his relationships changed, and they changed for the better, because they changed for the ones that was just being held down and oppressed by demonic forces to the ones that were saying, let's go see what the Lord want for us. Because they were all over the place. And so now he has to embrace a completely different lifestyle. A completely different lifestyle. You know, prior to Gideon having that encounter with God, all his decisions were made based on the lifestyle that he embraced. He had literally embraced being who he was, having a destiny inside, but not living it. Having promises from God, but not seeing them. Working hard, knowing that what he sowed, he should be reaping, but not reaping it. He had embraced living like that. That was his lifestyle, a lifestyle of servitude for nothing. going somewhere, doing things for nobody who could do anything for him, couldn't save him, couldn't help him, couldn't protect him. He was living in hiding with a destiny inside him to be somebody different than who he was. But he had embraced being no one. That was never God's plan. So he had to change all of that. And he had to embrace a new lifestyle. And so I'm just going to give you some things out of these verses. And I know right now this is not a scripture heavy kind of thing, but prayerfully, as I have instructed you as a pastor of a congregation, telling you to read Judges chapter 6 and 7 and 8 every single day until we're done, you should be able to relate very easily to this. If you haven't, you still will be able to relate, especially as you go back and start reading it again. And I know some of y'all have missed a day here and missed a day there. And some of y'all thought it was 10 chapters and some of you thought it was 2. And that's, you know, that's OK. You're doing something. But 6, 7 and 8, read it every day until we're done. And these are the kind of things that we don't have to be scripture heavy on, because what we're going to look at is the implications. Sometimes we can read the scriptures and we don't realize that what the scripture is saying, the implications of it are in between the lines. Does that make sense? It's kind of like the thing that I didn't realize that was taking place. So number one, we already said he had to embrace his identity, his new identity, his new relationships. And side note, and this is, I want you to really think about this. His relationship with God was first private and then public. That's a big mistake people make. They just want a public relationship with God. God came to Gideon, and Gideon had a worship session with the Lord, sacrifice, prayer, and then he went public. That is a discipline to live in. Gideon's public life flowed out of his private life with God. No private ministry to the Lord, no public ministry to his people. When the private ministry to the Lord ceases to exist, the public ministry will too. And likely you may have to just make up miracles and start just forming it into something else that will more than likely become something new age and distasteful to God. That was a side note. Number three, dealing with tough decisions. What are some of the tough decisions that Gideon had to embrace in his new lifestyle? Not having a lot of people. Another tough decision.
Straying away from his people's like God that they had.
Casting down the idols of the land, going against his own father's preferences of religion. He had to sound crazy. He had to embrace that I'm getting ready to go out here and tell these people that God has spoken. And these however many people that had them completely surrounded, that we getting ready to take them down. OK, let's just break this down. I've been teaching for 6 years. I have a wife and 2 children. I'm getting ready to quit my job and God is going to direct me somewhere else. Boy, is you crazy. That's what they'll be saying. You mean you got a job and you don't have another job lined up. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're going to do. And you quitting your job because God said it's okay. See, that's how irrational. See, that's counterculture. That's counter men's philosophy. That is, God is speaking and I'm listening. And I'm going on to see what the Lord is going to do. Gideon had to risk the same kind of thing and maybe a little more drastic. We living scared. Over 20,000 of us don't even really want to try to fight. Wasn't that the number we came up with last week? Over 20,000 of them, God said, everybody that's scared, send them home. And it says over 20,000 of them left. We were scared anyway. I don't know what tough decisions practically for us that we have to make. But if we look at Gideon's life, Gideon had to make tough decisions when it came to his relationships with his family, with his friends, with his clan, with the culture that was around him, with society. He had to make some tough decisions. He had to make some tough decisions to just believe God despite of what he had and who he was and where he came from. He had to stand up and make a decision that I am who God says I am, regardless to how I feel inside. And we know his feelings were very contrary to who God said he was, right? I don't know about this, Lord. Can you give me a sign? And we're going to get into that next week, right? Regardless to how he felt, he had to go with what he knew God was saying. And often God says things that are completely the opposite of what we feel good about. For some of us, it could be a job change. For some of us, it could be just a change of habit. It could be just a change of what you're doing with your time and when you're doing it with your time. For some of us, it could be a change in how you treat people. It could be a change of what you accept from people. And all the married people said, amen. It could be a change in how you help rather than hurt. Number four, I won't belabor that one. Oh, this one is big, y'all. And somebody throw up a red flag when you feel like I'm going way over time on this one, because I will. Living on mission versus being mastered in your life. See, if you don't live on mission, you're going to live being mastered. I don't care what nobody say, except it be God. The biggest problem in the church today is people do not live on mission. People come to church and they're so content with a handful of people doing everything. And the mission basically is to warm a seat and drop a few dollars in the bucket and say, praise the Lord, and go home. As if God has no mission for you. Gideon had a mission, and guess what? The people that rolled with him, that was a part of their mission, to roll with Gideon. Moses had a mission. And the people that rolled with Moses, a part of their mission was to roll with Moses. Jesus had a mission. There were men and women that followed and ministered, and they were on a mission with the Lord. Amen. Paul had a mission. He had people rolling with him doing things. Every Christian life is a mission. There's no way that we can live as Christians and say that we do not have a mission. Gideon went from being lifeless to living on mission. That was the problem. You had no mission to do what God wanted you to do. And I'm not talking about getting on a mission like, oh, I just want to save all the ants. I'm going to start building ant farms. No, God don't need ants. What we need to do is make our life a mission for the Lord. What do you mean, Aaron? What are you talking about? I'm 12. How do I live on a mission for God? You know what? This is what I heard when I was young in the faith. Just do what lies nearest. What is the need that you see right now? That's where your mission begins. You know how we can sit in church and be like, man, I wish somebody would do something about them flowers outside. We can walk in, man, and say, you know, this bathroom is just, man, why don't they paint this bathroom? We come in and we can look in the church and analyze it up and down and don't understand that the moment we walk in and we sense a need, God is already speaking to you about your mission. It's real simple. But we think that mission is this right here. Me standing up here. We think that mission is the people that's out on the street corner on the soapbox with the bullhorn. We think it's the people passing out tracts and all of that kind of stuff. And that is mission. But I'm going to tell you, a mission can be as simply as when you show up on Sunday and you put your hand to something. It could be like, hey, Brother Aaron, what day can I get in here? Because something needs to be done about that. And I'm going to come and do it. Amen. So sometimes we don't realize that it's the first little baby step of doing that thing that you feel convicted about, that thing that bothers you, that thing that notches you. That it could be calling me and saying, hey, you know what? You messed up Psalm 37 yesterday. You missed three words and it was kind of out of context. Do you know that ministers to the whole body? Do you know that? Do you know giving feedback and saying, you know what, Brother Aaron, I don't get what you said. That was totally unclear. You might want to straighten that out. That's a part of your mission. I know I'll be getting emails today as a result of that. So you feel free to email me. Tell me where I missed it. Everybody benefits from that. But that mission must be driven by a desire to glorify the Lord. A desire to help his people. That's what Gideon's thing was. Is what he didn't say, well, why is all this stuff happening to me? He said, why is all this stuff happening to us? He was concerned about his people. Nehemiah sat sad before the king because he said, my people, I'm sitting here with the king. And my people are damned up. How can I sit here and be happy, sir? His whole life, he risked his life by being sad before the king so he can go out and save his people. Nehemiah, mission. Moses, mission. Abraham, everybody that left with Abraham, did they have to go? It said God called Abraham. Everybody that left with him said, the Lord calling you, I'm serving you, let's go. We're going to get this done for the Lord. I don't want to make it seem so complicated that you go into 13 years of praying about what you need to do. I'm telling you, it's probably on your mind right now. It's probably that book. It's probably that article. It's probably that Facebook post. It's probably that friend that needs a phone call. It can be very simple. Number five. Gideon's new lifestyle included seeking God's direction. Now, this steps up a little bit from the simply writing an article or whatever that thing is that's been burning on your heart to, okay, this is significant. I'm getting ready to go up against an army. God, I know that you put it in me to go somewhere and to do something, but if you look at the back and forth with Gideon and the Lord, back and forth, okay? What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Go back to the Lord. Lord, help me. Show me your way. Show me what to do. You'd be surprised if you ask God what to do. You'd be surprised that he will actually show you. Sometimes you can ask the Lord what to do and you don't even realize you just end up doing it. Sometimes we're waiting on the clouds to move and the curtains to blow and the earth to quake and for the angels to shout from the, you know, with trumpets and all of that stuff. And sometimes it's as simple as you don't even realize, God, what do you want me to do? And you hear nothing, but something starts to burn in you to do. God just burning on your soul what you need to do. See, so let's not make it real complicated like, well, I prayed and I asked God and I didn't hear anything. Well, has anything new happened in your soul, a new desire, a new inspiration, a new aspiration? Have you been elevated in some kind of way? Has your focus been shifted to something and you got this acute focus on this one thing? God's showing you. Does that make sense? That's a lot simpler than waiting on and you don't know how to hear what God is saying. Seek God's direction. I dare you I dare you, I double dog dare you to ask God to show you what he wants you to do now. Lord, what you want me to do? Mind you, all the years of me and Phil and other people, Phil would be able to attest. I was never all down his back and all in his business trying to tell him, well, you know what you need to do next. It'd be like, brother, you need to pray. And he learned how to pray and seek God on his own. Now, he would come and say sometimes, hey, so what you think about this? But for the most part, he learned how to listen to the Lord on his own, because he understands that God is there for him, just like he is for you, just like he is for me, just like he is for the smallest to the tallest. He's here for all of us. Amen. God is not saying, well, you're not good enough. You're not tall enough. You're not light enough. You're not dark enough. You don't have enough money. You know what? You ain't even been in this long enough. You need to go to this man, and he needs to tell you what to do. Man, if that's the kind of God we serve, I just think that God is a little short on power. Number six, and it's only two more, accepting responsibility as a servant of God. Gideon had to accept the responsibility, regardless of if he felt adequate or equipped, or if he had felt like he had the resources, or if he felt like he had the skills. It didn't matter what he felt like. He just accepted the responsibility. He didn't say, well, you know what? There are a whole bunch more people who could lead this a whole lot better than me. I don't really have experience in this. I've never done this before. Or how about this one? I'm not good at that. I hate to hear Christians say that. I hate to hear people that I know, you got the Spirit of God. It don't matter what you feel like you're good at. I've never done that before. Or how about this one, even worse? I don't like that. Are we living for the Lord? Or are we living for ourselves? I know it's quite a few people in here. I can see God's glory all over, and I can just run down a list from the ceiling to the floor of how many things they do that they don't like doing. And you just see they do those things for the glory of God, and you can see the glory of God on their lives. Look, and while we on the subject, I don't want to feel, I can't tell you how many times I say, Phil, man, I need you to come do this, man. I need you to help me. And I could just see him like, I don't really want to do that. Never once did he say, you know what? I don't want to do that. He just did it. Did it with his heart in it. People got blessed from it. I know he felt like he didn't get blessed from it, but I know you feel blessed now, don't you? God is a rewarder. Accept the responsibility as a servant of the Lord. We do all, he said, whatsoever you do, whatever it is, whether you like it, whether you're good at it, whether you don't like it, whether you feel like you're going to fail in it. He said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Not to the church, not to Brother Aaron, not for your flag, as unto the Lord. Accept the responsibility, trust in the power of the Lord inside you, and go. Seven, he had to live a life of obedience. Now, he struggled with getting right on the ball. He delayed his obedience with looking for signs and trying to get confirmations. I know I've done that 1,000 times. I ain't going to tell you no lie. I mean, like, I've asked for confirmation on things so many times. It's like I could feel God saying, all right, I'm going to confirm this one more time. But I'm telling you, I am not confirming this no more. This is the 98th time. I'm not doing it anymore. So believe me, I understand, and God understands. If you need confirmation, you're struggling with, should I go? I mean, man, and God even can deal with us being a little bit afraid. Read the story. God actually made provision for Gideon because he was told to go somewhere, and he knew he was afraid. Read it. It's very intriguing. So there we have it. Embrace your identity. Embrace your new relationships. Remember, your private relationship with God is more important than your public relationship with God. Deal with the tough decisions. Got to embrace that as your new lifestyle. Your new lifestyle, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. I've listened to somebody recently talking about decisions, and it's like, wow. Wow. I'm glad I didn't have to make that decision. Live on mission for God. Gideon had to seek God's direction on that mission. He had to accept responsibility as God's servant, and then he had to live in a life of obedience to God. Now, I want y'all to think about this. What if everybody in every chair in every church in America lived like that? Can you imagine that? If everybody embraced a lifestyle of saying, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I am resurrected in Christ Jesus. My sins are forgiven. I got the Holy Spirit. I got power from Him on high. I got angels all around me. Everywhere I go, everything I touch, it's going to be blessed. If I pray for you, you're going to be healed. When I speak something, God will not let my words fall to the ground. And whatever I sow, I'm going to reap from it. What if everybody lived that way? What if everybody said, I'm living on mission. I'm going to find something to do. I don't care if it's just clean the chair I'm sitting in. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live a mission where every day I'm looking for an opportunity to do something in the name of the Lord. And it's not going to stop on Sunday. As a matter of fact, Sunday is my day to just kind of kick back and be poured into. Monday is when my mission starts. What if everybody said, man, I'm seeking God's direction in everything I do. I want to know the next move. I'm not finna fly on autopilot. I want God in the seat every moment of my life while we fly. This thing ain't gonna just go off into where? What if we all accepted our responsibility? What if we all were obedient to the unctions that we're getting all the time from the Holy Spirit to pray and to make phone calls and to study our word and to do some of the things we know God is putting on our heart to do? What if everybody in every seat of every church everywhere in America live exactly like that? So let's talk about, before I close, the threats to embracing a new lifestyle. Because remember, in this new lifestyle, you read the story, it's triumphant. It becomes exciting. The power of God starts to move, and it's eye-opening. It's like, wow, we look at the story sometimes of all these triumphant men and women, and we see all that God did in their lives, and we want that, but we forget about how they got there. That's why we're talking about the journey to see that, the journey to see the power of God move like you've never seen it move before in your life. To see yourself being someone you never thought you could be, doing things you never thought you could do. Here are what I believe are the threats are. First is a question. Why can't I ... I hear so many Christians trying to live in the gray area. Well, why can't I? I mean, why can't I hang out at the club a little bit? Or why can't I, you know, why can't I smuggle a... I mean, you know, we're going to get married. Why can't we? Absolute obedience is necessary. And I know y'all don't hear me talk a whole lot about obedience and not a whole lot about sin, because I love to build people up on what God's word and the riches of his grace mean to you in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something. In your new relationships, that's one of the most revealing questions about the people you're dealing with. When they start asking those questions, you're in the gray area. So you out there. And you need to know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with somebody who is still working with the spirit of this world inside them. They still got that going on. It could be you. All you have to do is renounce that and say, you know what, Lord, I'm walking with you. There will no longer be a why can't I when I know you already told me what I need to do. So we either embrace the new lifestyle or we might as well brace ourselves to live the old one. For Gideon, that's what it was. It was either God saying this so you can get ready for the peace and the quiet, or you're going to have to just resolve to stay where you at. I pray that as we leave here today, that as we began with and Midian was subdued to the extent that he could no longer feel haughty and arrogant around the children of Israel, that you feel like you can walk out of here and say, you know what? Satan, I know I ain't no match for you on my own, but God is with me. You will no longer hold my life from being who God made it to be. You will no longer hold my house hostage. You will no longer keep my family from being in peace. You will no longer plague me in my mind and my soul. You will no longer keep eating my food that I'm planting. You will no longer keep me in this place where God has promised me to have all of these things and I'm not having it. That's my prayer, that you walk out of here with a determination that I am getting ready to live this new lifestyle because I want these things that I'm hearing that God is going to say. I'm not going to be the one that's saying, well, if there's a God, I'm going to be the one that's saying, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what God, look at what I am done, as they say in the South. I know you feel it. I know you sense it. My prayer for you is just that. When you walk out of here, I want you to be so resolved that you ain't stopping short of God's best for your life. That you're resolved to accept your new identity, to let the chips fall at where they may in your relationships, and that you resolve in your heart that everything is new now. And on a side note, I want you to know that Gideon went back to a lot of the same people. From that encounter with God, from that resolve, that conclusion that he made to follow God, he did go back to people who were still captives. And then it took a little time to get the ball rolling, but the ball got rolling and they won. But it started rolling when he embraced the new. That's where it begins. Amen. I'm praying that you embrace a new lifestyle that's got a brand new victory, a brand new hope, a brand new destiny for you today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you today that you are challenging us to embrace. And we know that in order to embrace new, we have to let go of the old. Lord, right now, I know it's popping in people's heads right now what they need to let go of, what they need to grab a hold to. I'm praying right now that your anointing be on their life to make those choices, walk in the new, and trust you. To see that quietness, that peace in their life, to see that person that they can see, but they have not become yet. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.